amen. Praise the Lord for that special this morning, and what a blessing it's been just to be in church. And I trust that you have sensed the presence of God in this place, and you've already been ministered to, amen. And it is a blessing to be in church. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you would look with me to the book of Matthew chapter 18, Matthew chapter 18, we're going to be reading verse 21 down to verse 35, the end of the chapter, Matthew chapter 18. If you would stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. The Bible says, Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? And Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him his debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone, his brother, their trespasses. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you today, again, Lord God, we do thank you for the privilege and opportunity to be assembled here this morning. Thank you for all that have come through the doors of this Lighthouse Baptist Church. And Father, what we've already received, it's been a blessing. Thank you for that. But now, Father, as we've opened up your precious word and have read this passage of Scripture, I just pray, God, that you would meet with us in such a very special way. Give each one that insight into what you have for them through this passage. I pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Verse 35, it says, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. I'd like to preach a message to you this morning that I have entitled, Forgiveness from the Heart, or, if you will, the Spirit of Forgiveness. And the right kind of forgiveness is what the Bible talks about, is forgiveness from the heart, but it reveals a spirit of forgiveness. Now, as we look at the passage we've just read, this parable was in response to Peter's question. Peter comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he asks a question found in verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times." Now, this is what Peter, one of the apostles, had come to Jesus, and he wanted to understand just this law of forgiveness. What does God expect from me? I think that we ought to be aware of that as well, especially if you're saved this morning. God has expectations of you being one of His children. And that expectation would be to be more Christ-like. As we mature, maturity is basically becoming more Christ-like in everything in our lives and how we live our lives. It ought to be based upon, Christianity is based upon the life of Christ. And we have His example in the Scriptures. And so we find that the Apostle Peter wanted to know everything that was right. He wanted to come to Jesus. He wanted to understand this idea of having a forgiving spirit. And so we find that this is a response, this parable that Jesus then gives after this. And He starts this parable out by, in verse 23, He says, "Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened." Now, the kingdom of heaven, when you see that in the Scriptures, and you'll find this in many of the parables that Jesus Christ presents, the kingdom of heaven refers to the ways of God, which would be the will of God. The ways of God on earth, basically. He said, this is likened to the kingdom of heaven. This is what God's will is. This is what God would have you to do. It refers to the ways of God. And then he begins, after he tells him that therefore this is the kingdom of heaven, and he starts bringing this about and revealing to us a debtor that owed a large sum of money. In verse 24, it reveals that he owed him some 10,000 talents. Now, many have speculated on, in our today's currency, just how much money that would be. And it's hard to tell because they would mean different things in that particular time. But what I am told that it was a million times greater than 100 pence. Now, stop and think about that. What he was asked to forgive was worth 100 pence. What he was forgiven of was a million times greater. And that's why Jesus comes up and he presents this parable, and he's the one that mentions the amount. He mentions that amount to Peter because he wanted Peter to realize that it would be 1 million times greater than what he's asking anybody to forgive somebody else. Now, Christ wanted it to be somewhat, I believe, unmeasurable. And it is to a certain extent, but possibly comparing what God has forgiven us to what we are asked to forgive others. At least a million times greater. And so we have that on record. This parable, this is what he said, this is what Peter's asking. So he presents this parable and he says, this is the amount that he owed and was forgiven him, and this was the amount that he should have forgiven somebody else and did not. So a million times greater. What this debtor was facing, and rightly so, is found in verse 25. "But for much as he had not to pay his Lord commanded him to be sold." This man would lose his total freedom. He would lose everything that he would have, and he would have to start working off his debt, which was the way they did things back then. And so he would be sold into slavery for the rest of his life. But not only that, but his debt would also impact his wife. Because the Bible says not only would he be sold into slavery, but his wife would be sold into slavery. And not only his wife, but his children. It would impact his debt would have impacted his own children, and his children would have been sold into slavery. And everything he would have had, he would have lost everything because there's no way that he would have been able to pay this debt that he rightly owed. Now, what I want to present to you, that's the basis for the story, the basis for the parable. And so now I want you to see what he reveals. He reveals a spirit of forgiveness. And understanding what this man owed, something that he could not actually pay, somewhat of an unmeasurable debt, which would impact not only him, but his family, his wife, his children, all that he possessed. Verse 26, we find here, "The servant therefore fell down and worshiped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all." So we find that there was a humble, unmerited request. He humbled himself. He worshiped. He did not act as if it was something that he merited. He realized he owed the debt. He realized he couldn't pay at that time. And so he humbled himself and requested to be forgiven. A compassionate act follows. I love this because this is the spirit of forgiveness. A compassionate act. Verse 27. "Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt." What a picture. What a picture of this taking place. This man that owed all of this debt to, realizing that he could not pay, and he understood he was going to be the loss of everything. It would impact his entire family. It would impact his wife and his children and everything. And so he humbled himself and realizing that he owed the debt, and he humbled himself before the one that he was debtor to, and he just pleaded for mercy. And mercy was granted. An act of compassion that would entail love, grace, and mercy. Anytime that somebody forgives somebody else, can I tell you, it will take those things. It will take an act of love. It will take an act of grace. It will take an act of mercy. Because that's where compassion comes from. Compassion comes from those very same things. And this is the example, the picture that Jesus Christ is presenting to Peter when Peter is asking, how often should I forgive? And Jesus wants to present him this picture, this perfect picture of the spirit of forgiveness. Now, if you would put yourself there, there's no doubt when this man would realize, this person that I owed so much to has had enough compassion upon me. He loved me enough. He had enough grace and he had enough mercy to say my debt's been wiped clean. Now, there's no doubt in my mind if we were there, we would find this man crying because of the relief, his debt taken off of him. The relief that it would impact on not only his life, but his family's life and everything else. And this man would have broken out in tears. And not only that, because of his tears, the person that actually granted him the forgiveness would realize the difference that he made in this person's life. And because of their tears, can I tell you, it would have been a blubbering mess. I mean, they would have both been crying because of what had happened. And what was taking place, and there would be the joy would have filled the room. Amen. And Jesus painted that picture. Because he says, Peter, this is a spirit of forgiveness. Because this is coming from the heart, which means it's a way of life. It's within me. It should be within us. And if you're saved, it is within you because you have the indwelling of the Spirit of God, the presence of God within you, who has love, who has grace, and who has mercy to bestow upon all of humanity, which equals compassion and forgiveness. And so he says to Peter, this is it. This is the picture. This is the spirit of forgiveness revealed to you. Can I tell you, it's not about who you forgive. It's not about what you forgive. It's not about when you forgive it or how many times. It's about a more Christ-like way to live your life. It's example of Christ. He wasn't keeping track. All right, this is the seventh time, it's over after this. He said, Peter, don't put a number on it. It's not about how many times. It's not about who. Well, I'll forgive a brother. I'll forgive this person. I'll forgive this. It's not about who you forgive, how many times. It's not about what you forgive, whether it be a money debt or whatever else might be there. Somebody has done you wrong, has done you harm. It's not about what you forgive. It's about the spirit from the heart of forgiveness. And when you have that kind of a spirit and you base your life upon that kind of a spirit, can I tell you that you're going to find joy in your life? Because you're going to run into these types of experiences. When the person doesn't deserve it, and they know that they don't deserve it, they know that they've done you wrong, but they're asking. And when you have the power to forgive a debt, can I tell you the spirit there is one of joy. The spirit there is one of crying and tears of joy and laughter and happiness, rejoicing over the sins or the debt has been paid. For the one who had the debt removed and the one that had the spirit of forgiveness being able to say, I forgive you. What a blessing. So when Peter comes to the Lord, he says, I want to understand this idea of forgiving others. And Jesus revealed to him this picture of a spirit of forgiveness, opposed to a spirit of unforgiveness. Where you live your life saying, I don't care if they owe me, I don't care what it does to them, they're going to pay. There's nothing within your heart that says, forgive somebody. Because you're filled with bitterness because you've been hurt. You might be filled with anger. You might have something else going on in your heart. We're going to see this in just a minute here. But the spirit of forgiveness, the way of life as a Christian, has adopted this kind of a heart, this kind of a spirit. I'm not looking who I cannot forgive. I'm looking for those who I can forgive. And can I tell you, in my heart, I've already forgiven them before they've asked. Because I am not going to let somebody else's sin take away my joy. I'm not going to let somebody else's evil, wickedness, take away my peace that God wants me to have. And you don't have to if you have this forgiveness in your heart. If you live your life by the spirit of forgiveness as Christ lived His life and give us an example of that, you'll be looking for opportunities to rejoice with somebody that you've forgiven. With the opportunity to say, I forgive you. Because it'll bring joy into your heart. Because it is more blessed to give than to receive. Even in forgiveness. Now, if it would stop right there, we would say, wow, what a hallelujah story. What a hallelujah parable. It stopped right there, and I see that spirit of forgiveness, and everybody's going to have that kind of spirit of forgiveness, and what a great world we would live in if everybody lived with this idea of a spirit of forgiveness. But that's not the world that we live in. I hate to say it, for the most part, it's not even the kind of churches that we attend. And so he goes on. Verse 28, the second part is the fruit of an unforgiving spirit. That's what he reveals. He does it by saying, but Not everybody's going to live that way, Peter. I want you to live that way. And I want anybody that follows me, because that's the example that I am giving. But let me continue with the parable. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. Now you're thinking, when you first read it, he said, but he went out to find someone who owed him so he could pass it on. He was so excited about being forgiven of his debt that he wanted to go out and live the life, because he had a heart of forgiveness, and he wanted to find somebody that owed him so he could pass it on and let that person experience the joy of being forgiven, and him experiencing the joy of being the one that's saying, you're forgiven. We would hope that's what would happen, right? I believe that Jesus expects that to happen with every child of God, with everyone that's been forgiven of this 10,000 talents, of this 1 million times greater than what you could ever forgive anyone else in this world, in this life. You would think that's exactly what should be done. Every born-again believer, understanding what we've been forgiven of, we ought to want to say, praise God for that. And I want to go out and I want to experience being the one that's able to forgive. Living in a perfect world in the millennial reign, it'll be that way. But he went out to find someone that owed him. Look what it says. Which owed him 100 pence, a million times less than what he was forgiven for. And he laid his hands on him and took him by the throat. Now, he's painting a picture here for us. This is a parable. But this takes place in so many people's lives. You've been forgiven for what? And now you got your hands on somebody else's throat? Because they owe you? Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet. He humbled himself and besought him, saying, have patience with me. I'm not denying that I don't owe it. Have patience with me and I will pay thee all. The very same thing that he asked the Lord to do for him. And he would not. When we stop and think about this, you think, wow. He wouldn't? And then apply it to our lives. Yeah, that's what he wants us to do. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. His heart was not that of forgiveness. His heart or spirit was, according to the Lord, wicked. Even after he had had his debt forgiven. There was a humble, unmerited request. But from him there was no love. From him there was no grace. From him there was no mercy. None of this in his heart. He never even considered what had been done for him. Blocked it out. I'll tell you what, if you've got a spirit or a heart of unforgiveness that says, I will not forgive, you've had to block out what's been done for you if you're saved. I can understand it from a lost person. I can understand it from someone that possibly never has been shown love, especially the love of God. I can understand it from somebody that has been raised in a filthy, terrible situation in life, and because their heart is so hardened and they're so angry with life and they're so filled with bitterness because no one's ever helped them and they've had to fight for everything they've had. I can understand it from someone like that. It's not right, but I can understand it. But I can't understand it from someone that knows the love of Christ, that has experienced the very grace and the mercy of God. It's a wicked heart. He was living life filled with bitterness. He was living life filled with wrath or revenge. He was living life filled with anger. He was living life filled with clamor or evil speaking. You say, how do you know that, preacher? Because I know what the Bible says about a spirit of unforgiveness. Matter of fact, look there with me, Ephesians in chapter 4. Follow with me this morning. This is a great passage, great message that Jesus wants to get across, especially to the believers. Ephesians in chapter 4, verse 31 and verse 32. It's what leads to an unforgiving spirit. What leads to a heart that will not forgive. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor. That's the fruit of an unforgiving spirit. If you've got in your heart, I will not forgive, I will not forgive. Listen to me, you've blocked out what Christ has done for you and you've replaced it with these things. Bitterness, wrath, and anger and clamor and evil speaking. He said, let it be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Listen to me. If you're saved, remember what Christ has done for you. And as you have that at the forefront of your heart, and you want to have this, live this way, live the lifestyle of a spirit of forgiveness, a lifestyle that says, I'm not looking to not forgive, I'm looking to find someone who I can forgive. I want the joy and the peace and the happiness that forgiveness brings. But so many Christians don't, they block it out, and because they blocked out the love, grace, and mercy of God, then Satan has even, he's able to fill your heart with bitterness. I'm going to preach next Sunday morning, if the Lord continues, lead on bitterness and what it does to us. But one of the signs of an unforgiving spirit is bitterness. You're in the gall of bitterness. You won't forgive others because no one's forgiven me. You're filled with anger. I'm so mad at that individual that there's no way I'm going to forgive. And you let the spirit of anger. And listen to me. When you live with a spirit and a heart of anger controlling you, you don't have peace of God. You don't experience those times of joy and tears of rejoicing after forgiving and being forgiven. But that destroys your life. Bitterness will destroy your life. Anger will destroy your life. Clamor, evil speaking, and you just have nothing good to say about anybody. Listen to me. It's just controlling you. There's no joy in that. No matter what's taking place in your life, no matter what you're going through, no matter what somebody else has done for you, don't allow that to determine who you are and what you're going to be. Yeah. Stay focused on the example, the perfect example of Jesus Christ, who loved you, died for your sins. And even though you didn't merit forgiveness, is right there for you if you'll just but ask. If you humble yourself before an almighty God and just ask, you'll find compassion. You'll find these things, this love, grace, and mercy being extended to you. And they're extended to you and with an expectation that you'll extend it to others. It's an expectation that we will live a Christ-like life. And with living a Christ-like life, have the joy that God wants you to have and the peace that God wants you to have and have the rejoicing as well. Amen. Have times of just hugging and blubbering and reuniting relationships.
Amen.
Yeah. The fruit of an unforgiving spirit is not how you want to live your life. And then the last thing I want to share right before I close here. Go back with me to our text. He reveals the heart. The heart or spirit of forgiveness. He reveals the fruit of an unforgiving spirit. He didn't have it, and he had this person that he only owed him just a little amount. Had him by the throat. Anger, bitter, getting ready to cast him in jail over pennies. And then we find the last thing is the error of forgiveness. The error of forgiveness. It's what forgiveness is not. Verse 32. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me or just asked. Shouldest not thou also? Don't you think it's the right thing to do? God's not going to force it, but don't you think it's the right thing to do? Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant? Even as I had pity on thee. And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. Now listen to me. Understanding, and very important that you understand, this parable was given to help Peter and Christianity understand the spirit of forgiveness. You can't, this was not intended for you to understand eternal security. Some would want to look at this as, yeah, you can lose your salvation. That's not what he gave this parable for. He was addressing the spirit of forgiveness. What the spirit of forgiveness is not. The spirit of forgiveness is not given to allow sin to flourish or to go unpunished. I don't forgive somebody to enable them to go do it to somebody else. I don't forgive somebody to justify grace. Matter of fact, that's in Romans in chapter 5. In Romans in chapter 5, the disciples brought this up again, and the truth was given here. In Romans in chapter 5, in verse 20, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. What then? What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Can I do whatever I want and just ask for forgiveness and expect to be forgiven and everything be all right? Is that going to just give me a license to do whatever I want to do to anybody else and then just think I can ask for forgiveness and receive it? That's not what it's there for. God forbid, the Bible says, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer to sin? He is not telling us this is giving us a license for somebody else to sin, but he says that's not up to you. What I want you to do is understand the spirit, the heart of forgiveness. Let God determine the judgment. And no man is going to get by with sin. But let God be the judge. Jesus says, Peter, I want you and I want every other Christian throughout this church age to make sure you have a heart, a spirit of forgiveness. I'm not going to forgive them because they did this to me, and that means that they don't have to pay for their sin. Listen to me, that is destroying you more, it's destroying them. Don't you understand that? Jesus wants you to have joy. Jesus wants you to have peace. He wants you to be able to rejoice. And when you can put it under the blood because of what He's done for you, listen to me, you have just began to live the Christian life. Amen. As God wants you to. Amen. You get rid of bitterness. And you get rid of anger. And you get rid of clamor. And you say, I have determined to live a Christ-like life, which includes a spirit, a heart that is willing to forgive. This morning, look at your heart. Compare it to what God has done for you and ask yourself, am I living with the same love, with the same grace, and with the same mercy that was shown to me? Am I willing to show it to others? I trust you are. I trust you are. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Now, if you've never received that, can I tell you, you're not going to be able to live the Christian life as God wants you to. But you have an opportunity this morning to come and experience the love, to come and experience the grace, to come and experience the mercy that Christ wants to give you. If you're here this morning and you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, this morning you have an opportunity to come to this altar. Be saved today. Because once you're saved, then you'll have the heart that you need to have to be able to forgive others as you have been forgiven. Will you do that? Father, we bow before you now. We love you. Thank you, Lord God, for first of all loving us. Thank you for the example we have of the Savior. And Lord God, help us to have a desire to follow in His footsteps. Because the blessings that go along with that are beyond human comprehension. I just ask God for those that might be here that don't know that they're saved, that they would come and get saved today. Make sure of that today. And then other believers, God, that Satan has blinded to what you've done for them, and they have filled their heart with these fruit of an unforgiving spirit. I pray that you would reveal that to them, that they might come and confess that and forsake that. Work in our midst today. Bless in this invitation. In Jesus' name.